crossroads of empires, battleground of the ages, city of peace and of war. This is Jerusalem, where archaeology uncovers the empires of yesterday, where prophecy decodes the headlines of today. This is where history and prophecy come alive. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Hello and welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nuktika. We're coming to you today from Jerusalem, Israel. Thanks very much to everyone that has sent in some feedback now that the archaeological excavations at the Ophel have begun. It is amazing how the feedback starts rolling in. That's really great to see, and that's to be expected for sure. Again, this is the Ophel excavations 2018 season. It's headed up by Hebrew University's Dr. Elad Mazar and funded this year by Herbert W. Armstrong College based in Edmond, Oklahoma. We had a pretty exciting week. Most of the prep work now is concluded and full-scale archaeology is going to start up this week. The excavation blog, keytodavidcity.com, received a nice boost in traffic. We received a total of 2,344 page views last week, and that had 1,262 unique visitors, and almost 1,000 of them were coming to the site for the very first time. Make sure you check back in with that website, keytodavidcity.com. That is the excavation blog, and towards the end of this week, we are going to start posting some pictures of the excavation on that. I'd like to get to some of that feedback that features on the Key to David City site. Just a couple of comments from one person said this: every one of Dr. Mazar's digs gets more exciting. The anticipation of this one is the best yet. Thanks to everyone working on this dig and for sharing it with us. Another one said this: cheering the beginning of this dig. Wonderful pictures and past videos. Thanks very much for keeping us up to date and for all the work of the diggers. Then there was this response, and this came from last week's show. In response to last week's show, a lady from Texas writes this: thank you very much for this week's program. I always learn by listening to this program, even when you go over information that I already know. It still puts an archaeological and historical perspective into it that adds clarity in my mind. Then she says this, and I thought that this was quite funny, and it reveals a really good attitude as well. It says, I have a 12-year-old boy who wishes he was over there on the dig. This sounds like a positive comment, but there's more. He had to battle some negative feelings that you guys are over there going to complete all the archaeological aspect in God's plan, and by the time he's old enough to be a digger, there will be no more archaeology left. I'm trying to help him understand that we're all part of this project and that he can make a contribution from where we are, like David with preparing to build the temple. That was a contribution. I'll use this program to help him feel like he is a part of it. And I think that's just wonderful that we have some of the young interested in the past, interested in archaeology, interested in wanting to have a part in actually uncovering it, and even getting a little bit anxious that it's all going to be done by the time they're of age to contribute. That is a really great attitude. It's one really that was instilled also in excavation director Dr. Elad Mazar as well from a very early age. While she may be the poster child of biblical archaeology today, or at least having some of the more bombastic and glamorous finds, Dr. Elad Mazar isn't the first archaeologist to hold the Bible in such esteem. Of course, there are many people before that held the Bible as being accurate. Sometimes that actually led them to label things as being biblically significant when they weren't, and that has come back to bite us in some ways. But Dr. Mazar said she really did, as she was talking to me about a few years ago about this, that she really learned this respect for the history as recorded in the Bible from her grandfather, Dr. Benjamin Mazar, or Professor Benjamin Mazar. He was a leading Israeli archaeologist in his own right. He's best known for his massive excavations at the southwestern corner of the Temple Mount that spanned from the late 1960s and into the 70s. He was also the president of Hebrew University between 1953 and 1961. And really, it was his enthusiasm for both archaeology and the Bible that captured the imagination of Eilat when she was very young in visiting her grandfather at those digs. As she recalls, there were many times that she would sit before her grandfather as a child in his home, where he would host advanced scholars and seminars about history and archaeology right there in his home. And he would have his grandchildren there around him to listen. And Eilat, from a young age, really captured that vision. And she really did want to continue in the footsteps of her grandfather. So really, anywhere that her grandfather went, she liked to tag along. There were some of the big names in archaeology that used to tag along or be with Mr. Benjamin Mazar. And so she did learn from a lot of the founders of biblical archaeology through the 60s and 70s. Great professors, great scientists taught her how to excavate. And they also taught her a respect for the biblical scriptures, the biblical history. So right now she's back at the Temple Mount excavations, basically digging up that history once again, right where she did 40 plus years ago with her grandfather. Of course, her grandfather has died since, but she is continuing that effort, continuing that work. And Herbert W. Armstrong College is there with her, just as Ambassador College under Mr. Armstrong was there back in the 60s as well. Of course, there are the detractors. Naturally, you would expect that to be the case when anything is being uncovered that seems to confirm events in the Bible that took place 3,000 years ago. You are going to have detractors, of course. But it does seem that it as time goes on, that these detractors are getting louder and louder. The latest critique of Dr. Mazar's work took place about a couple of days ago. I think it's the 21st or the 22nd today, Sunday, and this was on the 18th. Another piece in Haaretz, one of a large selling daily here in Israel, published a piece that took aim at Dr. Mazar's designation of the large stone structure that's at the top of the City of David as the Palace of David. And this is, I think, the third piece in the last 6 weeks that have taken aim at the Bible and included Dr. Mazar as well in their attacks. But again, as with the last two that I've brought out, Haaretz has shown itself ill-informed, relying on the hearsay of other anti-Bible scholars instead of checking the facts itself. And I'm going to tell you what I mean after a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Watch Jerusalem on KPCG.fm. Thank you for listening. The relatively new science of archaeology, the digging up and study of the material remains of man's past, has confirmed without question the historical accuracy of the Bible. Solid, documented evidence, apart from the Bible, confirms events and persons that at one time were known to us only from Scripture. The Bible is real, and you need to pay attention to it. Call now and request your free copy of The Authority of the Bible. This lesson, which comes from the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, blows the dust off your Bible. You will learn how to mine the treasures buried in the greatest book on earth. You can discover its secrets and enrich your life today. For more information, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is Watch Jerusalem, where history and prophecy come alive.
Welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm Brent Nachtigall. We're coming to you, of course, from Jerusalem, Israel. And we're about to go through a piece that was published on January 18th in Haaretz, a newspaper here, and that really did take aim at a lot of the, not just even Dr. Mazar's work inside ancient Jerusalem, but really a lot of the archaeology that's been done in the past 100 years, Haaretz seems to take aim at and believes, with the advent of apparently this new study that's about to take place, that it's going to turn over stones, turn over all these norms or what's considered historical fact in Jerusalem or the history of Jerusalem. And you'll understand what I mean when we get to that article. But I do want to give you a bit of background on the palace itself, because that's what I want to talk about today, since this article takes aim at the palace. belonging to King David, this large building in the northern part of the city of David, or just north of the city of David. A lot, if you have come to the city of David for a tour, as many people have by the hundreds of thousands each year, you would have walked through this building. It might not have been explained to you too well, or it might have been very... even by some of the tour guides there, it might not have been held up as David's palace. Nevertheless, you might have walked through this building, and I just want to talk about that structure and its dating. And so you can hear as well from the horse's mouth, from Dr. Mazar herself, instead of believing what other people say that she says, or where they say that she got her evidence. Let's just see what she says. But first of all, as some context, it's good to remember that David, he started ruling around 1000 BC. And one of the first acts as ruler of both the southern tribes of Judah and the northern tribes of Israel was to take Jerusalem, the Jebusite city called Jebus. There was a fortress probably at the northern end of that city. And he took that stronghold, and 2 Samuel 5 talks about this, took the stronghold of Zion, or this area of Jebus or Jerusalem, and then he set to expand the city. Basically, that chapter talks about him taking the city and then constructing, getting the help of the Phoenician king of Tyre, who sent him different timbers, helped him with artifices to construct a royal palace in Jerusalem. It was like the first thing that he did, or at least that's the first thing the Bible records that he did after taking this city, which indicates that if possible, we might even be able to date this palace to the beginning portion of David's reign rather than the latter. That's a portion of David's reign. That's when we would expect it, because that's the chronology that the Bible gives with its construction. Now, near the end of the time that the palace was constructed, as 2 Samuel 5 brings out, the Philistines, the arch nemesis of the Israelites at this period, even going back into the reign of Saul, or even back into the judge Samson, the Philistines were the main adversary of the Israelites, and this didn't change during David's time. This was the situation as David became king. It was the Philistines, again, that were the power. It seems when the Philistines heard that David had united both Israel and Judah, they were worried of the strength of these people and decided to attack. And that's where it says in verse 17 that when the Philistines tried to attack, or were about to attack, when they were in Emek Rephaim, or the valley just to the southwest, then David went down to the citadel, down back into the city itself, the city, the Jebusite city that was conquered, because that would have had greater protection than his palace. Now, Dr. Mazar theorized back we're going back almost 20 years now, that this indicates that David's palace stood on higher ground than the Jebusite fortress. And higher ground is to the north, just north of the city of David, which was the Jebusite city before it was called the city of David. Then she said this in that famous article in Biblical Archaeology Review from January 1997, entitled "Excavate King David's Palace." She said this: "Careful examination of the biblical text, combined with sometimes unnoticed results of modern archaeological excavations in Jerusalem, enable us, I believe, to locate the site of King David's palace. Even more exciting, it is in an area that is now available for excavation." And that is exciting when you're talking about the city of David, because there are houses upon houses upon houses. Getting a spot that you can excavate that's free for excavation is a miracle in itself. And this area back in 1997, all the way through 2005, was available for excavation. Well, then she says this is again back from 1997. "If some regard as too speculative the hypothesis I shall put forth in this article, my reply is simply this: let us put to the test in the way archaeologists always try to test their theories, by excavation." By excavation. And a decade later, she did that. She excavated. 2005, just under the surface, in this place, in the northernmost region of the city of David, she found what she calls the large stone structure, and she labeled it as King David's Palace. Now, with all things in matching a structure from a historical source, such as the Bible, or any really any other ancient text, you need two things. If you're going to match up something that's written with something that you find, for it to be accurate, you need two things. You need to have the right location. And most would agree that if David's palace did exist, and if the Bible is accurate in its geographic markers, which most agree that it actually is, even if it was written hundreds of years later, the geography in the Bible is remarkably accurate. Most archaeologists would agree with that. Now, if the Bible is accurate in this case, David's palace should be in the location that Dr. Mazar says she has found it. So she has the location right. And most would agree that if the Bible is right, then it should be somewhere where in this area that Dr. Mazar has digged, has excavated. But again, you need another thing. You can't just find the structure itself. In order to match a structure to a match something that you find to something that's written in a historical source, is you need to have the correct dating for that structure as well. And that's why I say the most important thing in archaeology is dating, not about finding. You can find important things, but without proven documentable date attached to it, it is of little or no value. Unless you can date the thing you find, it's not really worth that much. It's not worth that much. Remember, Jerusalem and a lot of sites throughout Israel, they are multi-layered. Ancient settlement built on top of ancient settlement built on top of ancient settlement. And I remember excavating the Palace of David back in 2006, and we had numerous structures. One built on top of the other, sometimes intruding into the other, below it. And so we had to remove Byzantine structures. We had to remove Herodian period structures till we got down to the First Temple period structures. So what we're dealing with here at the palace is, or in this area where, in the northern part of the City of David, where is this large stone structure? We have the right location. Now the question must be, what about the dating? David lived around 1000 BC, and so this building, if it is David's palace, must be built around that time. That is where the argument falls or stands up. Is it built? Is the large stone structure, was it built around David's time? Now, with that background, let's get to this piece that was in Haaretz. Again, this newspaper here in Israel published a couple of days ago, January 18th. This is what it is entitled. It's got the eyebrow or the thing above the title in red saying Dating King David. So this is what we're interested in, right? Dating King David. When did David exist? How can we attach dates to his reign? And how can we attach dates to the structures that we say came from his reign? Then the title is this: Archaeologists Drop Bible, Pick Up Science to Solve Jerusalem's Puzzles, by Ariel David. Now, I don't know if Ariel David wrote this or not, this title. Maybe it was the editor's, so I don't want to speak so much against him for this title. But you would have basically every single archaeologist would take exception to this in Israel. Anti-Bible, believing the Bible is accurate or not, this title is absolutely horrendous. To say that archaeologists haven't been using science to solve Jerusalem's puzzles, then you would go against, well, what have they been doing? What have they been doing for the past 100 years? Sorry, up to now, all you archaeologists that have excavated Jerusalem, you weren't employing the scientific method, according to the people at Haaretz that wrote this title. And again, you can see even just from this title where the article is going. Anyhow, this is how it starts out. The ruins of ancient Jerusalem feature no lack of helpful signage, confidently explaining that this building dates to the time of King David, that house yonder to the Second Temple period, and to those crumbling walls to the Bronze Age. So you may be surprised to learn that most of the chronology in this, one of the most archaeologically rich and controversial cities in the world, has never been based on scientific testing. Really? Really? There's no science actually behind the dating of those structures. I'd like to see the definition of science from Haaretz and weigh that against all the archaeologists that have ever excavated in Jerusalem. And there are hundreds of them. Then it goes on to say this: the dates assigned by guidebooks and brochures to ancient ruins are incredibly rough estimates. Incredibly rough estimates based on the analysis of pottery and architecture, or at best, or in the best case, of inscriptions, coins, and other artifacts. Well, that just writes horribly, because it indicates or is stating that these are just really rough estimates based on some backward use of pottery analysis, or in the best case, coins. I mean, coins give a better date than absolutely anything that you find will give, basically, a coin, because it has an exact year on it, generally. Has an exact year. Now, if you're going into the biblical period, you're not going to find coins because they didn't exist yet. But nevertheless, it's saying that all the dating up to this point is basically a rough estimate. And then it continues this way. And in some cases, skeptics say, the dating and interpretation of ancient sites may have been twisted to fit the biblical narrative by scholars eager to prove religious texts right. Now, I would say that if you're going to go back maybe 60 or 70 years, that might have been the case. That might have been the case. These days, though, past 20 or 30 years, it's really hard to twist the dating of the archaeological findings based on the pottery analysis. There are general agreements within about 75 years, 50 years, as to when these different pottery types existed. And so to say it's a rough estimate is very poor. Anyway, this article continues, because they're going to get to the real science now. The real science. Things are about to change, apparently. Science is about to happen in Jerusalem archaeology for the first time in hundreds of years, apparently. All that may be about to change, though. He writes, a team of Israeli scientists and archaeologists has embarked on a massive 4-year project to accurately radiocarbon date the complex layers of ancient Jerusalem. This quest will not only refine our knowledge of how the city looked in its various incarnations, but also help researchers to answer broader questions about the historicity of the biblical account, not least the issue of whether an ancient Israelite united monarchy under David and Solomon really existed. Okay, so this is about to change. We've got these scientists that are coming together, and I think this is a great idea, actually. True science is a wonderful idea. The dates or the carbon 14 analysis or carbon dating different samples through the different strata in Jerusalem is a wonderful idea. It's great that they're trying to come up with some type of chronology for these carbon samples to make sure that they are appropriately calibrated. That is a wonderful idea. But it makes it sound like this hasn't been going on already. And it makes it sound like this is going to fix absolutely everything, when we know that carbon dates going back to this period of 3,000 years ago are generally a little bit, the window of time that they give you is worse than the pottery window, or larger than the pottery analysis window. Nevertheless, it will be helpful, I'm sure. But let's talk about the carbon 14 analysis that has already happened. Reading this article, you don't see any of it. You basically think that people have been digging in the dirt, including Dr. Mazar, for years, not taking any carbon samples, not sending them off to the lab in Tel Aviv to be looked at and analyzed and sent back. Where that is absolutely ludicrous. This has been happening many, 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 many times. Hundreds of times this has happened in ancient Jerusalem over the past 15 to 20 years. 10 years ago, excavating in the field at the Palace of David, I took numerous, numerous carbon samples, and they were sent off, as we will cover, to the lab where this research is actually taking place under this new project for 4 years. The same lab. And the same leader of this project actually analyzed those very samples and sent them back. And so this has been going on. But that's not the impression you get from this article in Haaretz. The impression you get is that people have been digging, they have found big buildings, and they're just designating them willy-nilly, labeling them as they please to fit the biblical narrative, not based on science. According to them, science is about to happen again. It hasn't been happening. Then let's continue on here. It says this. This is under the heading King David's Palace, maybe. It says this, take for example the hot button issue of the existence of the Davidic kingdom. We know from archaeological and documentary evidence that by the 9th century BCE, there are two Israelite states in the Levant. Why don't they just add biblical evidence there as well? We know from archaeological evidence and documentary evidence that by the 9th century BCE, there were two Israelite states in the Levant. Yes, that is true. The Bible says that. That's what happened during Jeroboam and Rehoboam's time. And archaeology confirms that. There's just a better way to write that, I believe. Nevertheless, we'll go to the next paragraph. But archaeologists can't agree whether there is any evidence to confirm whether before all that, sometime in the 11th to 10th centuries BCE, there existed the large united monarchy described in the Bible. Was Jerusalem in that period a resplendent capital built around Solomon's temple? Or was it a backwater, with David and his successor being little more than local tribal chiefs, later to be aggrandized by the redactors of the Bible? Since a powerful kingdom would theoretically need to have left some pretty spectacular remains for archaeologists to find, much of the debate on the existence of the United Monarchy centers on whether some major buildings found in the so-called City of David, the oldest part of Jerusalem, can be dated to the time of the biblical kings. And again, that's actually right. We should be able to find buildings attributed to Solomon and David in the City of David. I would say north of the City of David, because the City of David wasn't actually destroyed by David when he conquered it from the Jebusites. They let them live, and he had to construct elsewhere, further north, and northward under Solomon again. Anyhow, now is where he takes aim at Dr. Mazar and the Palace of David. He writes this in 2005, Hebrew University archaeologist Eilat Mazar uncovered a large stone structure that she dated based on pottery and other finds to the 10th century BCE and proclaimed it to be King David's palace. Interesting, isn't it? He's saying that she found this huge building and she dated it. How did she date it? Based on pottery and other finds. What he doesn't write there is she dated it based on pottery and carbon dating. And carbon dating, the very thing that he's saying is only the science in archaeology, apparently, that's about to start in Jerusalem. He doesn't mention it. If he did his research, he would know it wasn't just based on pottery. It was based on actual carbon samples as well. Anyhow, he writes, and I'm going to read this sentence again. In 2005... Hebrew University archaeologist Eilat Mazar uncovered a large stone structure that she dated based on pottery and other finds to the 10th century BCE and proclaimed it to be King David's palace. Skeptics countered that the building dated at best to a century later, the 9th century BCE, with several additions belonging to periods as late as the Hellenistic era, which began in 332 BCE with Alexander the Great's conquest of the Middle East. Can the new radiocarbon dating project resolve such stalemates? So he's saying Eilat Mazar used a certain technology, pottery, other finds to date this. Well, can the new radiocarbon dating project resolve such a stalemate as to when this building was actually uncovered? Hopefully yes, says Elisabetta Boretto, if I pronounced your name incorrectly, a professor of archaeological sciences at the Weizmann Institute in Rehovot. So they're saying that this project can finally fix and answer the question whether King David built this palace or whether this is the palace of King David or not. And it's saying up to this point, science hasn't even been used to date it, but science is about to ready to start happening. Now, again, while I'm not against this project at all, the claim that there hasn't been carbon-14 analysis used in the dating of the palace of King David is absolutely ridiculous. We have been using this method of dating for years. And yes, at the Palace of David, I personally took numerous carbon samples for testing. I was digging in an ash slag pit for a couple of weeks, which was against the eastern wall of the palace. And there were numerous samples that were taken from this strata and from strata layers underneath the structure of the palace as well. This isn't new. This is out there for anyone to learn about, those carbon samples. This, just read the book. Read the book. I'm going to read the book. This book is 10 years old. It's entitled The Palace of King David Preliminary Report from seasons 2005 through 2007. And this is what the book says. This was written by Elot Mazar back almost 10 years ago now, about those three excavation seasons that took place at the Palace of David, or the large stone structure. And again, we've been taking carbon samples from the very beginning. And this is what she says. Radiocarbon tests carried out by Dr. Elisabetta Borietto, the same person that's heading up this new study, director of the radiocarbon lab at the Weizmann Institute, same place she still works as 10 years ago, on samples taken from the earth accumulation under the structure, yield results similar to those of the ceramic analysis. Similar to the pottery analysis. Both are the dates that we get from the pottery and the dates that we get from the carbon samples in those same layers, they match. She says they support the notion that the deposition of the accumulation continued unto a very late phase in Iron 1 or the beginning of Iron 2 at the latest. So Dr. Mazar is saying here that we did send off these samples to be tested, and it comes back of this layer that was underneath the structure, and it comes back saying that this structure was built at the very earliest of 50 years before King David, and continuing right to the time that the Bible says that David should have constructed it. It matches. It matches what we would expect to find. It matches even the pottery that we have found there. Then, in the text here, it says, well, there's a few footnotes after that paragraph saying that it does support the notion that this structure was built at the very late phase of Iron 1 or the beginning of Iron 2, the time of King David, basically. It has some footnotes with the results of three carbon samples from those different layers underneath the structure. And this shows that the deposition of these strata or layers continued right up until the time of King David, and then it stopped, and then a structure was built. A structure was built on it. Now, I will add that since the time that this was published, this preliminary report, there have been many, many more carbon samples sent off to the lab for analysis. And indeed, I think and I would assume that some of the samples that were sent off from the palace will be used in this actual four-year study, because I don't know if they're going to be going back to the Palace of David and excavating to find the samples. So they're probably going to include these samples. And as I said, these samples were sent off years ago. They have come out. They have been analyzed. And the results of those will be coming out very shortly in the final report of the Palace of David, or this large stone structure. And really, once we see those, or once you see those, you'll see that we can throw out even pottery if we want to. And we can use carbon samples found inside the structure, under the structure, to date the construction of the palace to the time of King David. That is what is going to happen. Yes, thanks to carbon-14 samples already taken and already analyzed by a third party. Yeah, Dr. Mazar doesn't. She doesn't have a lab in her house or in her apartment where she looks through these carbon samples. No, she sends them off to the lab like everybody else to be worked with, and then the date comes back. She can't fudge this to fit her biblical hypothesis, apparently. They come back, and they either support the dating of the structure to the time of King David, or they don't. They either do or they don't. And it turns out that they do. Now, in talking to Dr. Mazar a few months ago about these findings from the carbon samples, she said that she was even surprised at how accurate a window that these carbon samples give in which the palace could have been constructed. And so we'll wait for that to be fully published before we talk about that even more. But just this article takes aim at the palace construction, or at the theory that this was David's palace, and basically says there's been faulty science, or science wasn't even used up to this point to date this structure to the time of King David. It was somebody that was trying to push a biblical agenda. That's why we have this book saying, or Dr. Mazar saying, it's a palace. Because the Bible says the palace should be there, so this has got to be the palace. It's not science. Well, science has been done already. This new study of the carbon samples throughout all of Jerusalem is a brilliant idea, and I think it's going to be wonderful. But there was science that was taking place in Jerusalem before then, and science, including carbon samples, was used, past tense, to date the large stone structure as King David's palace. That's all we have time for today. If you'd like to send your feedback to us, you can do that by sending your emails to letters@watchjerusalem.co.il. Please check into our website once again, keytodavidcity.com. That is the blog for the Ophel excavation site. And also check into our website, watchjerusalem.co.il, for all the latest developments. Thanks very much for listening. You've been listening to Watch Jerusalem, where history and prophecy come alive.